Chapter 1. Why was sin permitted? God is love. His nature, His law, is love. It ever has been. It ever will be. Every manifestation of creative power is an expression of infinite love. The history of the great conflict between good and evil from the time it first began in heaven is also a demonstration of God's unchanging love. The sovereign of the universe was not alone in his work of beneficence. He had an associate who could appreciate his purpose and share his joy in giving happiness to created beings. See John 1, verse 1, 2. Christ the Word was one with the Eternal Father, one in nature, in character, in purpose. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Micah 5, verse 2. The Father wrought by His Son in the creation of all heavenly beings. By Him were all things created, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers. Colossians 1, verse 16. Angels are God's ministers speeding to execute His will. But the Son, the express image of His person, the brightness of His glory, upholding all things by the word of His power, holds supremacy over them all. See Hebrews 1, verse 3, 8. God desires from all His creatures the service of love, service that springs from an appreciation of His character. He takes no pleasure in a forced obedience, and to all He grants freedom of will, that they may render Him voluntary service. So long as all created beings acknowledge the allegiance of love, there was perfect harmony throughout the universe of God. There was no note of discord to mar the celestial harmonies. But a change came over this happy state. There was one who perverted the freedom that God had granted to His creatures. Sin originated with him who, next to Christ, had been most honored of God and was highest among the inhabitants of heaven. Lucifer, son of the morning, Isaiah 14, verse 12, was holy and undefiled. Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. Little by little, Lucifer indulged the desire for self-exaltation. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Ezekiel 28, verse 12 to 15, 17. Thou hast said in thine heart, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. Isaiah 14, verse 13, 14. Though honored above the heavenly host, he ventured to covet homage due alone to the Creator. This Prince of Angels aspired to power that was the prerogative of Christ alone. Now the perfect harmony of heaven was broken. In heavenly council, the angels pleaded with Lucifer. The Son of God presented before him the goodness and justice of the Creator and the unchanging nature of His law. In departing from it, Lucifer would dishonor his Maker and bring ruin upon himself. But the warning given in infinite love and mercy only aroused resistance. Lucifer allowed his jealousy of Christ to prevail and became the more determined. The King of the universe summoned the heavenly hosts before him, that in their presence he might set forth the true position of his Son and show the relation he sustained to all created beings. The Son of God shared the Father's throne, and the glory of the eternal, self-existent One encircled both. About the throne gathered the holy angels, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Revelation 5, verse 11. Before the inhabitants of heaven, the King declared that none but Christ could fully enter into His purposes and execute the mighty counsels of His will. Christ was still to exercise divine power in the creation of the earth and its inhabitants. The battle in Lucifer's heart. The angels joyfully acknowledged the supremacy of Christ and poured out their love and adoration. Lucifer bowed with them, but in his heart there was a strange, fierce conflict. Truth and loyalty were struggling against envy and jealousy. The influence of the holy angels seemed for a time to carry him with them. As songs of praise ascended, the spirit of evil seemed vanquished. Unutterable love thrilled his entire being. His soul went out in harmony with the sinless worshipers, in love to the Father and the Son. But again, his desire for supremacy returned, and envy of Christ was once more indulged. The high honors conferred upon Lucifer called forth no gratitude to his Creator. He gloried in his brightness and aspired to be equal with God. Angels delighted to execute his commands, and he was clothed with glory above them all. Yet the Son of God was exalted above him. Why, questioned this mighty angel, should Christ have the supremacy? Lucifer went forth to diffuse the spirit of discontent among the angels. For a time he concealed his real purpose under an appearance of reverence for God. He insinuated doubts concerning the laws that governed heavenly beings, intimating that angels needed no such restraint, for their own wisdom was a sufficient guide. All their thoughts were holy. It was no more possible for them than for God Himself to err. The exaltation of the Son of God as equal with the Father was represented as an injustice to Lucifer. If this Prince of Angels could but attain to his true, exalted position, great good would accrue to the entire host of heaven, for it was his object to secure freedom for all. Subtle deceptions through the wiles of Lucifer were fast obtaining in the heavenly courts. The true position of the Son of God had been the same from the beginning. Many of the angels were, however, blinded by Lucifer's deceptions. He so artfully instilled into their minds his own distrust and discontent that his agency was not discerned. Lucifer had presented the purposes of God in a false light to excite dissent and dissatisfaction. While claiming for himself perfect loyalty to God, he urged that changes were necessary for the stability of the divine government. While secretly fomenting discord and rebellion, he caused it to appear as his sole purpose to promote loyalty and to preserve harmony and peace. While there was no open outbreak, division of feeling imperceptibly grew up among the angels. Some looked with favor upon Lucifer's insinuations. They were discontented and unhappy, dissatisfied with God's purpose in exalting Christ. But angels who were loyal maintained the wisdom and justice of the divine decree. Christ was the Son of God, one with Him before the angels were called into existence. He had ever stood at the right hand of the Father. Wherefore should there now be discord? God bore long with Lucifer. The spirit of discontent was a new element, strange, unaccountable. Lucifer himself did not see whither he was drifting. But such efforts as infinite love and wisdom only could devise were made to convince him of his error. He was made to see what would be the result of persisting in revolt. Lucifer was convinced that he was in the wrong. He saw that the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Psalm 145, verse 17. That the divine statutes are just and that he ought to acknowledge them as such before all heaven. Had he done this, he might have saved himself and many angels. If he had been willing to return to God, satisfied to fill the place appointed him in God's great plan, he would have been reinstated in his office. The time had come for a final decision. He must yield to the divine sovereignty or place himself in open rebellion. He nearly reached the decision to return, but pride forbade him. It was too great a sacrifice for one who had been so highly honored to confess that he had been in error. Lucifer pointed to the long suffering of God as an evidence of his own superiority, an indication that the King of the universe would yet accede to his terms. If the angels would stand firmly with him, he declared, they could yet gain all that they desired. He fully committed himself to the great controversy against his Maker. Thus it was that Lucifer, the light-bearer, became Satan, the adversary of God and holy beings. Rejecting with disdain the entreaties of the loyal angels, he denounced them as deluded slaves. he would never again acknowledge the supremacy of Christ. He had determined to claim the honor which should have been given him, and he promised those who would enter his ranks a new and better government, under which all would enjoy freedom. Great numbers of the angels signified their purpose to accept him as their leader. He hoped to win all the angels to his side, to become equal with God himself, and to be obeyed by the entire host of heaven. Still, the loyal angels urged him and his sympathizers to submit to God. They set before them the inevitable result should they refuse. They warned all to close their ears against Lucifer's deceptive reasoning and urged him and his followers to seek the presence of God without delay and confess the error of questioning his wisdom and authority. Many were disposed to repent of their disaffection and seek to be again received into favor with the Father and his Son. But Lucifer now declared that the angels who had united with him had gone too far to return. God would not forgive. For himself, he was determined never again to acknowledge the authority of Christ. The only course remaining was to assert their liberty and gain by force the rights which had not been accorded them. Satan cast out of heaven. God permitted Satan to carry forward his work until the spirit of disaffection ripened into active revolt. It was necessary for his plans to be fully developed, that their true nature might be seen by all. God's government included not only the inhabitants of heaven, but all the world that he had created, and Lucifer concluded that if he could carry the angels with him in rebellion, he could carry the worlds also. All his acts were so clothed with mystery that it was difficult to disclose the true nature of his work. Even the loyal angels could not fully discern his character or see to what his work was leading. Everything simple he shrouded in mystery, and by artful perversion cast doubt upon the plainest statements of God. And his high position gave greater force to his representations. Why God did not destroy Satan? God could employ only such means as were consistent with truth and righteousness. Satan could use what God could not, flattery and deceit. It was therefore necessary to demonstrate before the inhabitants of heaven and all the world that God's government is just, his law perfect. Satan had made it appear that he himself was seeking to promote the good of the universe. The true character of the usurper must be understood by all. He must have time to manifest himself by his wicked works. All evil he declared to be the result of the divine administration. It was his own object to improve upon the statutes of God. Therefore, God permitted him to demonstrate the nature of his claims, to show the working out of his proposed changes in the divine law. His own work must condemn him. The whole universe must see the deceiver unmasked. Even when Satan was cast out of heaven, infinite wisdom did not destroy him. The allegiance of his creatures must rest upon a conviction of his justice and benevolence. The inhabitants of heaven and of the world could not then have seen the justice of God in the destruction of Satan. Had he been immediately blotted out of existence, some would have served God from fear rather than from love. The influence of the deceiver would not have been fully destroyed, nor would the spirit of rebellion have been utterly eradicated. For the good of the entire universe through ceaseless ages, he must more fully develop his principles, that his charges against the divine government might be seen in their true light, and that the justice of God and the immutability of his law might be forever placed beyond question. Satan's rebellion was to be a lesson to the universe through all coming ages, a perpetual testimony to the nature of sin and its terrible results. Thus, the history of this experiment of rebellion was to be a perpetual safeguard to all holy beings to prevent them from being deceived as to the nature of transgression. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4.